Oral questions by members.
Leader of the Official Opposition.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Maple Ridge, Kamloops, Nanaimo, and now Penticton. All of these cities have had their concerns about how to provide appropriate supports for those dealing with mental health and addictions ignored and, in fact, steamrolled by this government. Yesterday, when the Premier claimed he was, in quotes, working with the City of Penticton, his Attorney General was actually bullying elected officials in the City of Penticton. He has repeatedly insulted local officials and ignored their very legitimate concerns about the lack of adequate provincial mental health supports. At a time when Penticton is asking for more mental health supports, the government is cutting funding to the Pathways Program, to the Addiction Treatment Centre, so desperately needed. So to the Premier, does he believe that cutting services, ignoring the needs of people in Penticton and elsewhere, threatening and bullying a community is acceptable?
Attorney General.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair, and thank you to the member for the important question. You know, it's a difficult situation as Minister for Housing when a municipality makes the decision to close an emergency shelter with 42 people in it and they have nowhere to go. What do you do? There are two options. One is you ignore the issue. You let the city empty out the shelter into a local park and you hope that an encampment doesn't result from it. The alternative is to, as the member says, and I freely acknowledge this, to use what are quite draconian provincial powers to override that local decision and continue to operate the shelter. There are no good options here. I don't pretend that this was a good option or a solution to homelessness. It is a necessary decision. It is a hard decision. But to me, taking into account the dignity and, frankly, the lives of 42 British Columbians, 42 Penticton residents, 80% of which have lived in Penticton for five or more years. But what to do in that situation? It turned out to be a difficult decision, but at the end of the day, the only decision to continue to operate the shelter, to move ahead as quickly as we can, to put supportive housing in place so that we can close the shelter, and we can all move forward. And I say to the member and I say to the mayor and council in Penticton, that's the only non-negotiable. The only non-negotiable is we will not go backwards and move people out of shelter back into parks. And anything else is on the table, let's talk about it, let's work together.
Leader of Official Opposition and Supplemental.
Well, thank you very much. And that's an amazing change of tone by this Attorney General when he's called on to answer a question in the legislature. He started this discussion in a dismissive, combative, bullying way. And to suggest,
Members.
And to suggest that the locally elected officials in Penticton don't care about the residents in their community would be absolutely inaccurate, and the minister should withdraw that remark. He has been the problem in this discussion from the beginning. Let's be clear. Penticton was shocked when this minister, instead of sitting down and having thoughtful and reasonable discussions about an issue that matters to the local Penticton Council and all British Columbians, he started to bully and threaten that if they didn't listen, it was his way or the highway. So let's be clear. Penticton needs, and so do other communities across British Columbia, full wraparound services to support people with mental health and addictions challenges. That's what the Penticton Council was asking this minister for. Instead, what did they get? Bullying and threats. So how can the Premier, once again to the Premier, how can he justify bullying municipalities at the very same time that he and his government are failing to provide adequate resources for people who need help and closing an addictions treatment centre?
Attorney General.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. The member is simply wrong. The reason she doesn't provide any quotes of my insults and bullying is because they don't exist. They do not exist. And she suggests...
Members, you asked the... Members have asked the question and the time to get the answer.
The member suggests, because I said that if Penticton emptied the shelter out into the park, an encampment would likely result, and that our use of provincial powers could result in a court challenge that would result in exactly that outcome, that we would provide tents and manage as best as possible. Well, we have 1,000 tents in a stockpile, that's right. That we would provide tents.
Members.
That we would provide tents to people as a basic shelter from the elements. The member says that's bullying. Well, that's just a fact. And I had 2 meetings with Penticton. Extended meetings on Zoom, more meetings than any other city that doesn't have an active encampment before they made this decision, in an effort to avoid this outcome. And so, you know, in one of those meetings, I said to Penticton Council, I said, I suspect we agree on far more than we disagree on, and let's keep working until we find something we disagree on. Well, unfortunately, we found something we disagreed on, and that was whether or not we should go backwards and dump 42 people out into a park. And I will not withdraw that. That is a disgraceful decision. I am very sympathetic to municipal leaders in the time of COVID facing addiction and mental health issues that are more visible than they've ever been. And our government is very sympathetic. $100 million in a Stronger Communities Fund to grapple with these issues. Billions in housing. We cannot go backwards. That's the only non-negotiable. And I am keen to work with Penticton Council. My phone is on, my door is open, I have said that so many times. I disagree profoundly with their decision. I look forward to working with them.
Member for Surrey White Rock.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Recently, the Premier claimed we need to do more at the provincial level. We need more resources to do that. We all agree with that. But Penticton has learned the Premier's idea of doing more actually means threatening more tent cities and fewer addiction treatment centres. My question is to the Minister of Mental Health and Addictions. Will she stop making the situation worse and restore the cuts to the Pathways Addiction Treatment Centre?
Attorney General.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So currently in Vancouver and Victoria, we're spending literally tens of millions of dollars of public money to respond to encampments. We're dealing with encampments across the province, and I'll be blunt, these are the product of 16 years of underinvestment in housing and supports in our province. We won't solve this problem overnight. The member fundamentally misrepresents our efforts. My extremely reluctant decision in Penticton was informed by trying to avoid an encampment, not expand them or threaten them with an encampment, to stop an encampment from happening. And the member fundamentally misrepresents the addiction treatment approach of the health authority in that area as well. They're bringing those services in-house to provide better and more integrated services. So I understand if the members have concerns about providing services in their community. I want to work with them. The Minister for Mental Health and Addiction wants to work with them. We want to work with city councils. We are working with city councils across the province in really constructive ways. Penticton is the only city where we are using paramountcy right now. And so I'll just say with respect, I think that in this house, we share concerns about homelessness, addiction, and mental health. And this government has done a lot more than we've seen previously.
Thank you. Member for Surrey White Rock on supplemental.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and to the Attorney General. My question was on pathways. And clearly, we have a minister responsible for mental health and addictions that has little responsibility for the file of mental health and addictions. I'll try it again. For 20 years, Pathways has delivered critical services. This nonprofit is being forced to close because this government decides it knows best. Replacing experienced nonprofit with a model that has few, if any, staffed with lived experiences. My question to the Minister of Mental Health and Addictions, will she step up and stop making it worse and give those with addictions the supports they need?
Minister of Mental Health and Addictions.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As I've said before to the member, Pathways has been a valued contributor in Penticton for almost two decades. We're grateful for their work. Addictions counseling is important. Their service, their contracted service to Interior Health has been valuable and appreciated. This is what Interior Health is doing. Shifting away from only addictions counseling, bringing the service in-house so that there is a broad range all along the entire continuum of care for addiction support, including treatment, recovery, bringing it in-house, not having it only available for Penticton, but for the entire city of Okanagan. This is an expansion of service, which is just what our government is committed to and just what people across British Columbia and in the South Okanagan have been asking. But this is what else we've brought to Penticton. A new urgent primary care center is opening at the end of March. It will provide long-term primary care, but with a particular focus on people with mental health and addictions. Again, looking at that underlying health. In the Interior Health region more broadly, 10 government-funded youth treatment beds. We're doubling youth treatment beds across British Columbia, something that the BC Liberal government failed to do when they had 16 years to do it. We've also added this month in the Interior five new innovative outreach teams. They're called integrated treatment teams, being able to deliver service to people that have not been able to walk in the door of a counseling or addictions treatment and recovery center.
Thank
because
you,
of childcare, because there's much more to do, but we are delivering a tremendous expansion. It's going to help people.
Thank you. Member for Kamloops South Thompson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. The reality is that after 4 years of this government, the situation is worse than ever. Instead of helping, they're shutting down the Pathways Addiction Treatment Program. This is a program that helps over 1,000 people in Penticton every single year. Regrettably, in Karamias, the same thing is happening, where a youth residential substance use treatment program has been shut down. So again, to the Minister of Mental Health and Addiction, will she admit that her approach is failing? It's failing 4 years into this government. And will she ensure that our most vulnerable populations and communities across the province actually receive the supports that they so desperately need?
Minister of Mental Health and Addictions.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We are committed to expansion, to expanding access to mental health and addictions treatment and support. In 4 years, we have done so much more than the previous government did. We are reaching more people. We've made historic investments. We've expanded in every way, access and the range of services. We've been building a continuum of care for mental health and addictions treatment while fighting two public health emergencies. There was no system in place when we formed government in 2017. 10 youth treatment beds have opened in Kelowna in early March. Another 10 are going to be ready by the end of the month. We're adding more beds as we enhance and streamline services to get better quality care. A new 20-bed specialized treatment center for youth opened in Chilliwack last summer, supporting youth ages 13 to 18. The Ashnola at the Crossing Center in Karamios hasn't been open for more than a year. We did let Interior Health let the center know earlier this year that they won't be renewing their contract. In fact, Ashnola did not apply to have their contract renewed, but we are adding services in many other areas in the region. People accessing support in their most terrible time of need have
gotten
much more.
Member for Kamloops South Thompson on supplemental.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a government that's been in power now for 4 years. They keep talking about the former government. They are the former government. And in these last 4 years, homelessness is up dramatically. 10 cities are popping up everywhere. Overdoses and deaths from overdoses are up. That's on their watch, their 4 years in office. And the bottom line is this: the addiction crisis is worse than it's ever been, again, under this government. Communities and social service agencies are practically begging the government to provide the supports or the additional resources needed so that they can better support vulnerable populations in their communities. In my hometown, Kamloops City Council just recently passed a motion calling on or urging, pleading for this government to ensure that they're directing wraparound supports and services to ensure that the people who need those supports are getting them in Kamloops. So again, to the Minister of Mental Health and Addiction, will she stop making the situation worse? And will she ensure that the supports are provided that are desperately needed by vulnerable populations in communities across the province?
Minister of Mental Health and Addictions.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. That there is more to do is not in question. That the pandemic has made everything worse. It has increased homelessness. It has increased the overdose crisis. It has stretched people's personal mental health, and it has meant that mental health and addiction services have had to go to half capacity and modify their operations. Everything is harder right now, there's no question. And our government before the pandemic had invested and expanded services deeply, and since the pandemic began, have stepped up in every way, in many of the ways that Kamloops Council is asking. Safe supply, decriminalization as a way to remove stigma. We have transformed province-wide in the greatest and fastest transformation of mental care, health care access, online mental health supports that are reaching people in every corner of the province. We've opened BC's first mental health and response center in Surrey, opened new mental health and wellness center at Royal Columbian, and that the opposition dedicated only one quarter of the budget in this October campaign that what our government and our party was willing to commit to mental health and addictions tells me a lot about the level of their commitment to the cause, and the voters chose accordingly.
Member for West Vancouver, Capilano.
Mr. Speaker, on this government's website, there is this wonderful video, and it's currently there, and it talks about the value of the Sequoia and the Alder Youth Recovery Homes, both located in Vancouver. And these provide needed beds for young people experiencing homelessness, mental health, and addiction. Now, the only problem with this great video is that government cut the funding last year to both Sequoia and Alder House, and they're both closed now. Why is the Minister of Mental Health and Addictions making things worse with cuts instead of giving people the help that they need?
Minister of Mental Health and Addictions.
The expansion of services in every way, whether it's youth, whether it's overdose, whether it's addiction, is unprecedented. The need is unprecedented, and there is absolutely more to do. There are many services that have moved in-house because they should be part of the healthcare delivery system. We don't want to have mental health and addictions treatment separated from healthcare. This happens, contracts change with the health authorities, but in every way we've expanded access to services. We have got integrated youth and child mental health teams in 5 different regions of the province, a way that we're working together to prevent small problems from turning into big ones. Doubling youth treatment beds, launching new health services for post-secondary students, 24/7 access to counseling, expansion of funding for suicide prevention and mental wellness in Indigenous communities, building with the First Nations Health Authority, six rebuilt addictions treatment centers. I could talk all day about the work that we've implemented.
Thank you, Minister. Member for West Vancouver, Capilano.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As my colleagues have pointed out, and as I've heard from my social services colleagues, under this government, things have gotten worse. They have not gotten better. This minister is responsible for ensuring that the services are there for people, but her budget is smaller than the Office of the Premier. Clearly, more resources are needed to help people get better, yet programs like Sequoia and the Youth Alderhouse Recovery Homes are being cut. When will this minister stop passing the buck, accept responsibility, and start giving people the support that they need?
Minister of Mental Health and Addictions.
We have got a long way to go to overcome the overdose crisis and to connect people immediately and quickly with the mental health supports that they need. But wait times are shorter. There are more services available since in the 4 years that we have had government. The pandemic has set everything back on homelessness, mental health, and the overdose crisis. There's a direct link. But thank goodness we put so many of those supports in place. $746 million from my ministry alone to mental health and addictions over a five-year period. Out of the health minister's budget, $2.7 billion annually. And I'll remind the member again, her own party committed only 25% of what New Democrats did to the public in the election campaign in October, just 6 months ago. That, to me, says a lot about the BC Liberals' commitment to the cause, let alone what they failed to do over the 16 years they had that they were in power.
Thank you. Member for Fraser-Nicola.
Yesterday, Christine Sorensen, president of the BC Nurses Union, had this to say about mental health services, and I quote, "We are under-resourced and understaffed, and we have no place sometimes to refer patients when they are discharged," end quote. This is happening under the watch of this Minister of Mental Health and Addictions. Things are worse, not better. Why is the Minister of Mental Health and Addictions failing to give people the help they so desperately need?
Minister of Mental Health and Addictions.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. That workers on the front line, whether they're in the nonprofit center or whether they're nurses and healthcare practitioners, were asked to do so much with so little support. Is something that we are working hard to overcome. We've expanded people in seats. The expansion of funding to healthcare workers is unprecedented under the 4 years we've been in government. The expansion of services for people seeking help, the reduction in wait times, although it's still too long, is again unprecedented in BC's history. And we are not only relying on nurses and primary care providers, but expanding from a peer support perspective. We've got eight new foundries about to open up. That'll be a total of 19 across the province, where youth and young people up to age 24 can access mental health and addiction supports, especially on a peer level, so that they can support each other. Increasing support for mental health in the workplace, and an unprecedented increase in the budget commitment to both public health and also to mental health and the overdose crisis.
Thank you. Member for Fraser-Nicola on supplemental.
Well, Mr. Speaker, stop gaps are not enough. The minister is not doing enough. She needs to step up, accept responsibility, and take the necessary steps to ensure a comprehensive mental health and addictions system. Will the minister admit her approach is failing and start providing support to people who so desperately need it.
Minister of Mental Health and Addictions.
As was stated so clearly by Dr. Bonnie Henry, it is hard to fight two public health emergencies when there was no system of care in place in 2017. We've been working hard every day. The creation of a dedicated ministry, the first in Canada to focus every day on mental health and overcoming the overdose crisis, is an expression of our commitment to building that system of care where there was none. The unprecedented expansion of services, both on overdose response and on mental health and combating mental illness, is unprecedented. The extent of the budget, again, unprecedented. Is there more to do? Yes, there is. Is every life lost tragic? Yes, there is. But we are working hard in every way to make things better. And I'm delighted to hear the opposition now cares about this issue, and I hope we can work together on this.
Thank you. Member for Abbotsford West.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. Well, the minister says she can speak all day. Well, that may be the case, but here's what people in Penticton are hearing. They are hearing threats, and they are hearing insults. And to the Minister of Mental Health, if you live in Prince George, you're scratching your head because you're trying to understand how it is that, and why the government actually opposed a proposal that would create a desperately needed 60-bed treatment facility in Prince George. Can the Minister of Mental Health explain how it is that with record numbers of people dying, she couldn't even manage to convince her own cabinet colleague, the Minister of Agriculture, not to oppose the creation of a desperately needed treatment facility in Prince George?
Minister of Mental Health and Addictions.
That the overdose crisis has taken so many lives in British Columbia and that it's hit Indigenous people disproportionately is not fair. Because of that, our partnership with First Nations Health Authority, our government has committed $20 million to build two new and six replacement healing centers that First Nations Health Authority will oversee. On March the 4th, Chief Corina Lewin wrote to me, letting me know that the Independent Agricultural Land Commission had turned down the Carrier County's application for a non-farm use. On March the 9th, I met with the chief and committed to her at that point that we are continued investors in the project. We're counting on Carrier Sicani being able to build it because the need is so deep. The independent ALC said that they found it not to be an appropriate non-farm use. I committed to the chief. I will work with my counterparts to try to find a path forward. It was not the NDP government that opposed the non-farm use application. It is the NDP government that is investing with Carrier Sicani in new construction.
Thank you. Member for Abbotsford West on supplemental.
There's a couple of things, Mr. Speaker, that the minister conveniently tries to ignore in providing that answer. First of all, last year, her government attempted to shut down a women's treatment center in my community in Abbotsford, and they would have succeeded. They would have succeeded had they not been called out, Mr. Speaker, and been embarrassed into changing. In the case of Prince George, we are talking about marginal agricultural land that has been used as a resort, and no one can remember it ever being farmed. And here's what the decision said. While the panel appreciates the social benefits of the proposal, it could further alienate the property from future agricultural endeavors and is therefore inconsistent with the mandate of the commission.
This government gave that commission their mandate, a new mandate, Mr. Speaker, that they are now using to frustrate the creation of the very treatment facilities that we so desperately need in this province. (laughs) 1,726 people have died, Mr. Speaker. All of us are impacted by that. All of us care about that. But apparently, in the minds of the officials within the Agriculture Ministry who opposed the proposal of Prince George, that doesn't qualify. That represents an appreciation of the social benefits. We're talking about people staying alive, Mr. Speaker. The minister says she cares about keeping people alive. I believe she cares about people staying alive. Then it's time for her to do her job as minister and speak to her colleague and make sure that agencies that want to create a place where they'll stay alive can build that place and 60 people will stay alive, Mr. Speaker.
Government House Leader.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. And I appreciate the member's question and the member's concern. Sounded like there was a question.
Okay.
If the member wants to get to the question, I'm more than happy to let him get to the question if he didn't already ask it.
Government House Leader.
Thank you.
Take a seat. Member for West, Abbotsford West, continue.
Well, then the Government House Leader may want to step in, but there is actually only one person that can answer this question, and it is the Minister for Mental Health, who has explained what she did after the decision. But we'd like to know, and I want the minister to explain to this House, the Minister of Mental Health, what she did before the decision from the ALC to ensure that members and colleagues in her government were supportive of a desperately needed facility that should be built, can be built, would be built, except for the actions of this government, Mr.
Thank you. Government House Leader.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. And as I said, I appreciate the question from my colleague across the way. But let's be clear. The Minister of Mental Health and Addictions has outlined step by step all the kinds of programs and investments this government has made since taking office 4 years ago. Proper plans in place. But what we hear from the opposition and what we hear from that side in this question is they are wanting government to interfere with the decisions of an independent body whose job and mandate is to look after agricultural land. To turn back the clock on the old days where cabinet ministers interfered constantly
Members, let's hear the answer.
What this government has said is and has outlined that there was a decision made, but they are working with the proponents on a path forward. That's the appropriate way to do, and that's the method that this government is taking forward. Thank you.
The bell ends question period.